The following is a presentation of Remnant. Finish the work you have started in me as I'm on my way to you.
Hi, this is Jerry Gotts, and welcome to Remnant Church Online. We hope that you'll find today's message challenging, full of hope, and most of all, practical. If you have questions, comments, or need a little more help on any of the issues that are raised by today's message, drop me a line at jerry@remnantchurchonline.com. Thanks a lot. God bless you, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jerry Gotze.
Let's talk this morning. We're going to talk about God's king-size comforter. We're talking about the things that, as we unwrap Christmas, what does God give us? Well, these are some things, and so this is the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, what He does for us. And so the gift we're unwrapping today is one that gives to us, but also gives to others. And so we're going to talk about that this morning. Let's open up with a word of prayer. Believe God to bless our time, and I pray that this is going to be great. Father, thanks. You're so good to us, God. You love us so much. Father, I pray that you'll take the next few moments and open our hearts to hear from you. Father, let the words of my mouth and meditations of my heart be yours. God, speak. We ask it in your name. Amen. Really, a small text today. Mark chapter 1, verse 8. It says, I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. This is John the Baptist speaking. He's speaking about Jesus. He's talking about the one who will come. And he says, there's one coming who's greater than I am, who's greater. In fact, I'm not even really worth it to unlatch his shoes. But there's somebody coming that's incredible. And he's talking about the Messiah, and he's talking about Jesus. And he says, I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And don't miss what's going on here, folks, because the Holy Spirit does not live afar. He's within us. The Holy Spirit comes to dwell within us. And this is a whole shift. This is a monumental shift in what God is going to do in His people. It's not that God's going to be afar anymore looking. And every now and then in the Old Testament, you hear about the Holy Spirit falling on somebody, but it was always temporary. Here, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within us because Christ was going to open that up for us. This is powerful. So I want to talk to you this morning about what exactly it means, the Holy Spirit. What exactly does the Holy Spirit mean? What exactly does it mean to have a relationship with Him? What does our relationship look like? Well, first of all, it's personal. Our relationship with the Holy Spirit is personal. Christians believe in God who exists in three persons. Now, explaining the Trinity is like trying to explain the blue lines in hockey. It's really, really difficult, and you don't really get it. And you've obviously never watched hockey, or you would have thought that was hilarious. But anyway, see, there's these two. Anyway, okay, there's these blue lines. And we try to explain it because there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We try to explain it like an egg. My grandpa tried to explain it once like an egg. There's the shell, there's the white, there's the yolk. And altogether, there's three different things, but altogether they make up an egg. But that's not really the same. That's tripartite. That's three parts. The Trinity is totally different. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit making up God. And it's one of those things that, I'll be honest with you, I don't understand. I don't fully get. I know, I understand what the Bible says about it. We're going to go into it a little bit here. But I'm telling you, it's such a mystery to us that this is one of those things we say, okay, God, I'm going to take your word at this because otherwise my head will explode theologically. The Holy Spirit is God, just as the Father is God, just as Jesus is God. In the same way, and we miss this sometimes, in the same way that we can pray to Jesus, we can pray to the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit is God. In fact, there are a couple places where we're told to pray the Spirit of God, pray that God's Spirit will come. We pray to the Holy Spirit. And I need to explain to you that we refer to the Holy Spirit as a He, not an it. You hear people talk about the Holy Spirit as an it. Well, it's not like he's like, you know, Casper the Friendly Ghost or something. He's a really, my friend Dave Johnson had a little boy named Charlie. And Charlie was screaming in the middle of the night one night. Dave went in to find out and he says, I think the Holy Monster's after me. He had heard about the Holy Ghost during church, and it kind of messed him up. The Bible says that the Spirit knows, that he has a mind. The Holy Spirit is not an impersonal force. The Bible says the Spirit desires certain things for us, so he has a will. The Bible says we shouldn't grieve the Holy Spirit. He has an emotional attribute. He's personal, the third person of our Godhead. A triune God is the theological term they use. But our relationship to the Holy Spirit is a personal relationship. You know, how many of you were, as a child or maybe later on, were asked to ask Jesus into your heart? And we sing that song, "Since Jesus came into my heart." But you know what? Really, it's the Holy Spirit who comes to live within us. It's the Holy Spirit who is God's emissary to come and live within us. We talk a lot about the conviction of the Holy Spirit. When you do something wrong, it's the Holy Spirit that tells you, hey, knock that off. It's the Holy Spirit who works in your heart to prompt you when you're talking to somebody and you say, you know what, I really feel like I need to pray with this person. That's the Holy Spirit prompting us. Understand what the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is the personal side of God invested in our lives. The Holy Spirit is God's personal side for us. And he comes to live within us, to make our lives better, to challenge us, to warn us. You ever get that little inkling in the back of your head that, you know what, maybe I shouldn't do that. And then you find out later, oh, wow, that really could have been a bad thing if I had done it. That's the Holy Spirit, not your spider sense. Okay, so then you're going to try and crawl a wall later on. It's not your spider sense stingling. John chapter 14 says this, "The Father will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth." This is what Jesus says about the Holy Spirit. "I will not leave you as orphans, verse 18. "I will come to you." And then verse 20, "On that day you will realize that I am in the Father, you are in me, and I am in you." And that's how the Holy Spirit, that's how God dwells within us, is through the Holy Spirit. Jesus kind of identifying himself with the Holy Spirit here, isn't it? And I know this is kind of a teaching kind of time, and it's not exciting, but this is a huge point for us to grasp, because you need to know that God's Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, comes to dwell inside of you as a Christian. That's powerful. We want to think that God's this far-off deity, you know, and he sits up in heaven with a bucket full of lightning bolts next to his throne, you know, waiting for us to mess up. Ah, caught you! That's not God. God loves us so much that he sent his only son to die for us. God loves us so much that he sent the Holy Spirit to live within us, to guide us, to direct us, to make our lives better. It's a powerful, powerful relationship, and it's personal. Because let me tell you something. If there's 50 people here today, and all of us read the same Bible verse, not everybody would have the same thing. We may take from it something different because we're going through different things, or our lives are in different places. And I may read something, and I may read John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believed in him would not perish but have eternal life." I might take that verse, and to me, having been a Christian for a while, to me that's a challenge that I've got to share God's word with somebody. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, though, that verse tells you that God gave his only Son for you so that your life would be made better. We go through our lives and things happen and God's Word opens up to us. That's God's Spirit. It's personal. There's no one size fits all. Trust me. I'm a fat guy. I understand there's no such thing as one size fits all. I've told you before, now they're changing. Now they say one size fits most. Because they're hedging their bets. We watch this show on TV called Big Medicine. And it's about like these 600 or 700 pound people. I like watching that because I feel better. I feel skinny. I feel anorexic when I watch Big Medicine. It's personal. It's personal. The Holy Spirit's going to deal with you about things in your way. You're going to look at something and God's going to say, here's what you need out of this. Because God knows, and he sends the Holy Spirit to live within us. John 15:26 says, "When the counselor," and you see the counselor has a capital C, that's another name for the Holy Spirit. The comforter, the counselor. "When the counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me." The Holy Spirit testifies about who Jesus is. It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's job isn't to draw attention to himself. It's to draw us closer to Jesus. Jesus is the central figure of creation. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one who came to save us as a child, who lived a perfect life, who died on the cross, who rose again. And he gave us the Holy Spirit so that we could have this personal relationship with God. Folks, don't miss this point. That our relationship with the Holy Spirit is personal. Because he loves us that much. God could have just said, okay, all right, here's the rules. We do that, don't we? At work they do that. I love the idea. I was at training this week in Orange County. I don't know why they can't send me to Orange County in the summertime. They send me in the wintertime. Anyway. And they were talking about list of rules and stuff that you have in your workplace, and one of them was on clothing. And they were talking about having one, like kind of like a one-size-fits-all. Everybody has the same clothing. And I said, we don't. They said, yes, you do. I said, no, they don't. Guys aren't allowed to wear their shirts tucked out. But girls are. We're not the same. She said, well, do you want to wear a skirt? I said, well, I have the legs for one. The Holy Spirit doesn't treat us that way. Wherever you are in your life, right this moment, spiritually, socially, every aspect of your life, wherever you are, the Holy Spirit wants to deal with you and make your life better. Our relationship with him is personal. Second thing about our relationship with the Holy Spirit, it's all-consuming. Verse 8 says, I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. The word baptize literally means to immerse or to dip into. That's why when we baptize, we don't sprinkle you. We're going to dunk you. You're going underwater, baby. And we're going to make sure everything gets covered. Because I don't want to leave like one hand up and have that part be the sinful part. Everything's going in, man. He says, I'm going to, read it again. I baptize you with water. I dunk you in water, but he's going to dunk you in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to just consume us. It's going to be all over us. Do you know the Bible compares being baptized, being filled with the Holy Spirit with being drunk? Check it out. Acts chapter 2, verse 15. When the disciples are in the upper room waiting, the Holy Spirit comes on them, and the people down on the street are saying, there's a bunch of drunks up there. They've been hitting the wine early. He says, no. These men are not drunk as you suppose. And he goes on and tells them, no, they're not drunk. They're under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Paul said in in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, don't get drunk on wine, which leads you to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm sure the wine company's not excited to hear that. Don't get drunk on wine. We talk about being under the influence all the time. With DUI, driving under the influence. Under the influence. What does that mean? Think about what under the influence of alcohol means. It slows down your response time. When I was in crime prevention, we had drunk goggles. And they had three different sets, and they get you progressively more drunk. And so we were doing a thing down in Calexico at one of the high schools, and I got one of the big jocks, you know, big guys, big man on campus, all bad. Come on over here. So I gave him a ball, and I tossed him the ball. And he did all the physical agility stuff real good. Then I got him drunk. Started putting the goggles on him. And it was fun to watch him slowly but surely lose every bit of his athletic ability. Until finally I had him two times the legal limit of drunk, and he almost fell over. It was hilarious to watch. And he got up and he says, I guess I couldn't be able to drive. See, unfortunately, the influence of alcohol is always negative. I can't tell you how many domestic violence calls I've been around where I've had to photograph the victim of somebody because somebody got a little drunk at a party and then took it out on their wife or their husband. Or how many kids I've had to photograph who've been beat up by a mom or a dad who's drunk. Hey, the influence of alcohol is always negative. But think about the influence of the Holy Spirit. It's the same when we're filled with the Spirit. He influences the decisions we make. He gives us boldness and courage to do God's will. And he helps us respond the right way to situations that we face. Our relationship to the Holy Spirit is to be the same as a drunk man's relationship to alcohol. We're to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit in all we do. Imagine that. Imagine going to work with a smile on your face. I know it's scary, but trust me, it happens sometimes. You go to work, you're smiling, and you're in a good mood, and somebody says, well, are you stoned? Dude, I'm under the influence. Of what? The Holy Spirit. Okay, something's wrong. I hate it when I see Christians who walk around looking like 12 rainy days. How you doing? Well, I'm all right. Bless God. Oh, hallelujah. How are you doing today? Well, I'm pretty upset. I'm pretty mad at everybody, so you might want to get away. Didn't you go to church yesterday? Yeah, we went to church. I hate the pastor. How are you under the influence of the Holy Spirit by acting that way? If you're under the influence of the Holy Spirit, who gives us peace, joy, love, who gives us all of these good things, who reminds us of God's presence in us, who shows us that we have something greater to live up to, that we have a great reward. If you're under the influence of the Holy Spirit, how do you become a crab at work? How do you become a backbiter? How do you become somebody who's ornery? I was talking to one of the people that was with me at the training this week, and the person said, unfortunately, most of the Christians I've met make me not want to be a Christian. And I told him straight out, I said, the people that are acting that way to you are not Christians. They're just people who go to church. And I use my Big Mac liner, that going to church doesn't make you a Christian, just like going to McDonald's doesn't make you a Big Mac. Make no mistake about it, folks, you're not a Christian because you're sitting here this morning. Hopefully you can be before you leave here. We can take care of that. But being here does not make you a Christian. It's that relationship with the Holy Spirit that makes us a Christian. It's accepting Christ as a Savior that makes us a Christian. You'll never hear a social worker say, you know, those kids have an absolutely ideal home. Their parents are both alcoholics. You won't hear that very often. I don't think you'll ever hear that. What you will hear, though, are the stories of people whose lives are changed as they became influenced by the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19 says, be filled with the Spirit as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to the Father. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. That's the influence of the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Sing songs. And you know what? The Bible says make a joyful noise. It doesn't say it has to be on key. Sing. Fight back. Do whatever you're going to do. Sing. Sing to the... Open your mouths and tip your head back and sing. We care what it sounds like. It's not American Idol. Look at this, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts. Can you honestly tell me that you can tell God how great He is? Can you sing the songs like you sang this morning? I'm standing back there trying to do the overhead. I got tears in my eyes. I'm just worshiping God. It's so cool. There's no way you can walk away from that experience and talk bad about somebody. And if there is, you missed the point. Hey, we've got to be under the influence of the Spirit. Look at the gift of look at the fruit of the Spirit. By the way, it's fruit of the Spirit, not the fruits of the Spirit. What's the fruit of an apple tree? An apple? Am I going too fast for some of you? What's the fruit of a cherry tree? Okay, some of you are getting a little up to speed now. I'll give you more. What's the fruit of a peach tree? Okay. All right, you're with me now. It's not one of the fruits of an apple tree. There's only one fruit in an apple tree. It's an apple. This is the fruit of the Spirit. This is what the Spirit brings. All this together. Love. Love. That means even to people that aren't nice. Love. Joy. Christians ought to smile. I think Christians ought to be the heart of every party. They ought to be the people that are always cheerful in the halls at work. Say amen or ouch. Peace. Patience. Okay, I get kind of in trouble here. I'm working on that one. Kindness. Goodness. Faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. It's all-consuming. When you're under the influence of the Holy Spirit, this is the way your life looks. Make no mistake about it. We're here to celebrate Christmas, but this is why Jesus came. This is the gift He gave us at His birth. This is the gift He gave us at Christmas, was that we could be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Guys, this is a turning point for our lives. Once you start living for Christ this way, people will wonder, what is wrong with you? That's their first reaction. Second reaction, I want whatever He's got. Third thing about the Holy Spirit, our relationship with the Holy Spirit, it gives us power. We get the strength we need for daily living from the Holy Spirit. Our power comes from Him. Acts 1:8, what did Jesus say? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be my witnesses. You receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Power. Kind of cool. We're in this training this week, and the majority of the training was basically telling me how many ways I could be sued as a supervisor at the sheriff's office. Woohoo! Can't wait to go to that one again. And boy, do you have a lot of rules when you get back this week, Joanna. there's a new sheriff in town. Everything's changing. No more Mr. Nice Guy. Because I'm not losing my house for any of you. No. It's crazy. But like most of those trainings, the first half of the morning, you're okay. You've had breakfast. A little bit of coffee still running through your veins. About 11 o'clock, you're ready for lunch. Go to lunch. About 1:30, you're ready for a nap. I'm ready to minister to Brother Pillow. And so I drank one of those Monster energy drinks. Woo! Man, you're not telling a lie. One of those big old, it was huge. It was, I may have been just an intravenous drip, I don't know. But man, I got about halfway through that thing and I went, I'm ready to run a marathon and I can't even run. Woo-hoo! You get power from one of those things, man. You're like all juiced up, and you're thinking, I need to go push a building or something. I'm ready. Let's get any mountains you need moved? Let's go. And then about 5 o'clock, it wears off, and you're like, I need a nap. When the Holy Spirit comes into your life, you receive God's power. Power to be witnesses. Power to do things for Christ. How do you think that anything happens for God? It's not because we do it. I was talking to my good friend Gordon Houston. We went to dinner Tuesday night up in Orange County, and we were talking about it, and I kept telling him about all the things that have gone on at Remnant, and he just shook his head and he laughed, and he's now like the assistant superintendent of the Assemblies of God in Southern California. And he said, you have to know Gordon. He said, all right, tell me honestly, what did you think when you found out I was the assistant superintendent? I said, well, one of two things happened. Either everybody over the age of 45 in the Assemblies of God died, or they changed the rules and you had to be like the fifth caller. Because there's no way he was going to be the assistant superintendent. Because he's got a different kind of heart, man. He wants to see things change, and if you're status quo, you're in trouble. Well, they did change the rules. They made it so he got appointed. And he got the job. And we're talking about the things that were going on in Remnant and how Remnant started and how guys with such different backgrounds as Jeremiah and I have come together and start this church. And we both came to the realization, it's a God thing. This whole thing is a God thing. Because if it was me or Jeremiah, we'd have messed it up by now. And don't think we haven't tried. See, when God's power comes in your life gets better. When God's power comes in your life, you have the power to do things you never thought you could do. How great to hear to hear one of the people at Holy Grounds talk about how they were talking to this guy. They never would have talked to this guy before. Then they start talking to this guy, and words are coming out of their mouth. They're like, where'd that come from? That's the Holy Spirit. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. Look, when the Bible tells us to go and go into the world and preach the word, he's not telling us to do it on our own. He's telling us to do it through God's power. And if you try to do it on your own, you're going to mess it up. I've seen people do it on their own. They're the guys that end up on street corners with bullhorns, shouting at the top of their lungs, you're all going to hell if you don't know Jesus. Shut up. Because if they're really tapped into God's power, they know they don't have to raise their voice. They know they don't have to browbeat people into the kingdom. All they have to do is say, God loves you and has something great for your life. Let me tell you about it. And those people's hearts would open up like flowers. And Christ would come in. You don't beat people into the kingdom of heaven. I've tried. No. Dale Van Steen, is a good friend of mine, tells a story of this guy who was a reformed Hell's Angel. He was a Hell's Angel, got saved. He literally got saved in a bar. He walked outside, gave somebody, just some guy walked by the street and goes, hey, you like that motorcycle? The guy says, yeah. He says, you want it? Yeah. Hand over the pink slip, and gave it to him. I mean, God just totally changed this guy. Still this big, burly biker guy. His idea of witnessing, though, was to walk up to people and grab them by the arms and say, do you know Jesus? Because if you don't, man, it's bad. Do you want to know Jesus? Yeah. And Dale said he had to tell him, that's not the way it works. You can't hold somebody at gunpoint to lead them to Christ. Do you want to know Jesus? You want to go see him? No, you can't do that. That's not a good way to do this. And when we getting any ideas, I'm going to go witnessing. I need a Bible and a 38. No, it doesn't work that way. I'm going to have to start lifting weights before I can go witnessing. God gives us power to be better husbands. All the women say amen. Too late. No, see, if I have to beg, it's too late. God's power gives women the power to be better wives. You guys are all chickens. You guys are all chickens. All the men are like, amen. I'd like to say amen, but she's nearby. Gives kids the power to be better kids. Gives parents the power to be better parents. It gives all of us the power to be better people. That's what God's power does for us. And that's how we witness. Make no mistake about it, folks. As they see our lives change, people are drawn to find out what's going on because everybody wants something better for their lives. We all listen, everybody in this planet listens to the same radio station. WIIIFM. What's in it for me? When they see your lives and your life is being made better by the power of God, they want what you've got. We've been given an unlimited supply of God's power. Everything you need to live a holy life has already been given to you. And we pray, oh, Lord, I want more of your power. Nope, can't give it to you. God cannot give you more power. Are you ready for this? God can't give you more power because he's already given you everything you need. He's already made it available to you. It's like if somebody gave you $1 million and you walked around with $1 million in your pocket and said, you know, I'm thirsty. I'd like to go to Circle K, but I don't have any money. You dolt, you got $1 million in your pocket. Well, yeah, but that's for big things. It's for everything. God's power is for everything you have. You've got all the power you need. You just don't access it. They found one of the richest women in England. She passed away. I told you this story a while ago. And her son had to have his leg amputated because they spent so long arguing over which doctor was cheapest that eventually he got gangrene for the wound in his leg and they had to amputate his leg. When they went in, she finally died. She lived in this little ramshackle hut. She was taking all the soap shavings and putting them in a nylon to make new bars of soap from all the old soap. Now, soap isn't that expensive. And I want a new bar anyway, because that bar's been all over people's bodies. I want my own bar of soap, thank you very much. She had millions of dollars, and she never spent a dime of it. If few years ago, a float ran out of gas on the Rose Bowl route, right in the middle of the parade. Just ran out of gas. It was really embarrassing for the company. You know whose float it was? Standard Oil. Kid you not. Happened back in the 60s. See? It doesn't do you have good to doesn't do you any good to have access to all of it if you don't use it. You've got all of God's power you need. The Holy Spirit's ministry is to strengthen us so we're able to live a life that is pleasing to God. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 says, God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. Now, sanctifying is one of those big theological words. Let me read it to you another way. God chose you to be saved through the power, the work of the Holy Spirit that makes you more like God. That's what it means to be sanctified. More like God, set apart. You're getting rid of all the stuff, and God's setting you apart to be more like Him, to be His powerful, His witness. We're to be set apart. We're supposed to be God's people. The problem is we get too caught up in our own stuff. Another way the Spirit empowers us through the gifts that He gives us. Everybody here has a spiritual gift. Everybody here has a gift that you can use for God's glory, and I will tell you, you have a gift that you can use for remnant. You have a gift.
Well, so, but I don't have one.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. You may not have found it. You may not have explored it. You may be a chicken and not using it. Thought I'd throw that in. You may be stubborn. You may be rebellious. You may be sinning and not using it. I don't know. That's between you and God to work out. What gifts do you have? Let me put it this way. What talents do you have? What abilities do you have? Well, I'm good at talking. Okay, well, do you think talking might come into the ministry of the church anywhere? I've got a good heart. You think that the church needs people with good hearts? Do you think there's ministries that run that need to be run by people with good hearts? If you've got the gift of hospitality, if you like putting on parties and putting together dinners and stuff, we definitely need you. If you make good oatmeal raisin cookies, the pastor needs... No, do not make me cookies. I'm trying to be good. The Spirit gives us power, gift or gifts that we can use for His glory to make God's kingdom better, to save lives. We drove down that parade route Friday night, and by the way, thank you to everybody who rode and who set up everything. Thank you guys, it was a blast. Here's this church following a toaster down the parade route. But there's people shouting. I don't know what you guys were doing. Steve said it felt like he was driving a load of cattle because they were just moving like crazy back there, jumping up and down and screaming and hollering and stuff. But think of the witness to all of those people. How many of those people that we passed by Friday night need God? How many of them are lost and need God? And here's this float full of people waving, cheering, looking like they're having the time of their lives. And what are they? They're Christians. How powerful is that? You mean to tell me that you don't have gifts that God can use for that? You can't smile and wave and say hi? Hey, there's something you can do for God's kingdom. But it's not you, it's God. It's not you by yourself, it's God's power, it's God's Spirit. It's God working in you through the Holy Spirit. So what are you going to do? Here's this great gift God's given us. It's time to do it. On the day of Pentecost, the Apostle Peter answered when they said, oh, these guys are drunk. No, they're not drunk like you think. In fact, here's what's going on. And that day, 3,000 people give their hearts to Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a pretty good altar call. You give an altar call and 3,000 people come forward. That's pretty good. I think my tops is, like 5. Not 5,000. 5. I don't know. Later on, though, Peter's walking through the temple, and he sees a man who can't walk, and Peter and these guys begging for alms, and Peter says, you know what? I don't have any silver and gold, but I do. Here's what I do have. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. In fact, so many things happened through him that people would just come to stand in his shadow. So that God's power flowed through him. Hey, that's the Holy Spirit. What's the difference between you and the Apostle Peter? Nothing. Nothing. Is there any? Did he have access to anything you don't have access to? Nope. Was he somehow God's special guy? Nope. He's one of God's kids, just like us. If he can do it, we can do it. The difference between us and him is not a question of God's devotion to us. It's a question of our devotion to him. Amen? It's time for us to be God's emissaries of the world. It's time for us to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. What a gift that God gave us at Christmas. The ability for the Holy Spirit to come live within us, make us better, and let us touch the world with God's Spirit. How powerful is that? How cool is that? You realize that the people in the Old Testament, if they knew about all the access to God's power we have, they'd be jealous. You realize that? Abraham would say, wow, that's cool. I wish I had that. King David would look at us and say, man, that would have been awesome. And yet, we act like we've got nothing. We forget how rich, how powerful, how great God is within us. Let's pray. Father, thanks. And God, you are so good to us. And right now, Father, I just want you to open our hearts. If you're here this morning and you say, you know, Jerry, this all sounds great, man, but I've never had anything like that. It's all here. In a moment, we're going to pray, and all you have to do is say, God, I want to become one of your people. I want your Holy Spirit to live within me. I accept you, God. I accept all you have for me. Or maybe you're here this morning, and you've been a Christian a while, but you feel powerless. You feel tapped out. The relationship you have with the Holy Spirit doesn't seem all that personal. You sure don't feel this power flowing through you. Now's a good time. Whatever you need this morning, will you just ask him? Right now, use your own words. God, thanks. Come on, let's go to him together. Father, thanks. We love you, Lord. You're so good. God, you came to save us. You sent your Holy Spirit to convict us of sin. Father, in the tugging that some people are feeling this morning to accept you, God, maybe they've never thought about it before. God, the tugging they're feeling is your Holy Spirit saying, this is what you need. This is the personal side of the Holy Spirit. Convicting us of sin and bringing us to you. Thank you for that, Jesus. God, there are people here this morning that are kind of feeling like they've been left out of the party. They come to church and they see all this stuff going on and they hear people talking about the great things and they realize that they're not doing anything great for you. But God, it's not because they can't, it's because they won't. So Father, touch their hearts right now, God. Bring them to you. Let them feel your Spirit, your power flowing through them, God. Give them strength this week as they go out. Lord, let them go to their work, to their school, to their homes, and let the people around them see and realize there is something different about this person, and I've got to have whatever they have. Thanks, Father God. Thanks, Father God. Give us your Holy Spirit. Let us be baptized, immersed in your Holy Spirit, and let us see what great things happen as we turn our lives over to you. Thanks, Father God. Thanks, Father God. Stand with me if you will. And let's worship, knowing full well that this week our lives will be different because of the power of the Holy Spirit.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.